everybody. It's Matt Michaels here on the DeFalco Files with the owner and creator of the Future Stars of Wrestling FSW here in Las Vegas. Joe, it's heading into ground zero this weekend. Oh, man. Things just don't stop. They just keep going, don't they?
Yeah, you know, I've been nonstop on the phone this past week. Emails, phone calls. I guess I can announce that it looks like that we're helping present a watch party at the Hard Rock Cafe. It looks like it will be hosted by the WWE Hall of Famer, the Godfather. And looks like Kenny King might be there also. We're trying to get a couple other guests to appear for that. So I've been working on that. We were trying to do a comedy show with John Morrison there. That's still a possibility. You know, we're 2 weeks away, and it's like Hard Rock can't be waiting for the final decisions. It's right. You know, everybody's got weird schedules. It's mania. There's a lot of money being made, and these guys are trying to fit things in. Then, you know, dealing with the WWE ID show, talking with Gabe. And we were able to get not only Brittany Brooks and Bodie, but now Maserati will also be appearing on that show. Nice. To go along with the ID talent. So Bodie's got a match against Freedom Ramsey.
Is this the same Maserati that you recently told she was an old bag? Is that what I...
All in love with Maz. You know, it's, you know, she's been with me many, many years, and you know, she's come a long way. I gotta say, you know, when she first started, everything she typed was in capitals. Everything, like if she said hello, it would be in all capitals, and she finally started getting the hang of it. You know what I mean? You know, you got to understand, you know, she's kind of like Devin Reno on the other side of the tracks, where Class had to try to, you know, make Devin Reno understand the finer things in life. Same thing with Maserati. You know, she's used to, if she's going to get something, she had to take it. And, right. You know, we're trying to civilize her, you know, so... You know, there's a, you know, long time relationship there with Maz. So, you know, and what's good is, you know, we don't have to worry about cancel cultures and stuff. You know, we can bust balls and stuff like that. Yeah. And, you know, yeah. It's all in love.
Yeah.
She owes me a hug, she said. I'm holding off.
So far, this is what's been revealed. Of course, we got Marcus Mathers and Jackson Drake in ID tournament opening round match. Sean Legacy and Ricky Smokes. Aaron Rourke and Sam Holloway. Cappuccino Jones and It's Gall. I'm not familiar with them.
I do not know. We also have another match that I can announce. Jordan Oasis will be taking on Aaron Roberts. Also, Zeta Steele is going to be there. Looks like we're looking at a women's tag because with Maz added, there's Brittany Brooks, Zeta Steele, Zara Zacher, and Maz. So that's four. So I'm thinking either a, you know, four-way match, fatal four-way, or a tag match. So, again, yeah. I don't have any discussions when it comes to what the matches are. All I know is right. I present them. So.
And, of course, can't forget Ice Williams against Brad Baylor.
You know, getting the home field advantage. Oasis.
In Oasis, yeah. So that's, I mean... Again, really exciting. And also, don't forget, too, Gabe is doing his training camp and scouting tryout for $99 on Wednesday, April 16th at noon.
Nope, so the time that you do not have the updated flyer. It's 10 a.m. Right. Because 10 a.m. Gabe has to get to the Pearl Theater. Well, not even the Pearl. I think it's the Moon nightclub for their GCW, the first round of the ID tournament that I believe starts at 4. So Gabe usually goes about 5-6 hours. So he's trying to go from like 10 to 3 to then be able to shoot over there. So he'll have a very busy day. Then we got the Future Legend Women's Tournament. We announced the 4 opening round matches. Everybody's like, wow, this is some triple threat right there. And, you know, for people who are unaware, Maya World, she hit me up a couple of years ago from Texas, and she was pretty good. She was trying to get herself out here, and it was like, no offense, I appreciate the enthusiasm and I'd use you, but it was a casino show that the only spot was a battle royal. And I'm like, you know, to be honest, I'm not going to be able to see much in a battle royal. You know, if you're flying yourself in and getting, you know, your hotel and you're covering everything to be here, it would probably be best to do it when you can actually have a match. You know, don't look at it as, well, hey, I could be at the casino show. You know, you're better off doing an FSW arena show and actually have a match with one of our, you know, top talents, and we could see more. Right. And she's kind of exploded over the last year and a half in Texas, where she's considered one of the top women wrestlers there. So Jada Stone, we've seen. Brooke Havoc, you see on GCW. She was at the Bay Show. So that's definitely a tremendous matchup. Brittany Brooks, she's going one-on-one with Kia Dream, who is part of Culture, Inc. We have Carolina Cruz. She's going to be in the other triple threat with Zamaya and the other ID talent, Zeta Steele. So, you know, I hope they're used to a hard-hitting match, because Zamaya is going to give you nothing else but. And then recently signed, she just signed with TNA. They announced it this week. Maggie Lee, who's getting a lot of love. She's going to be taking on Jasmine Allure, which many feel like that is the most equal matchup of the 10 wrestlers that are being a part of it. So,
yeah, that's a great, a very, very good matchup. So, exciting stuff going on.
Right. So that's 4 matches there. The 4 winners will compete in an elimination match. So that'll be match 5. The Future Legend Men's Championship will be on the line. Matt Vandegrift will defend. Bode will be in that match. We're working out the logistics for a couple others, trying to see if Cartwheel's available. Guy who wrestled in the Future Legend tournament a couple years ago, Hunter James, trying to see his scheduling. So we're working on a couple people that are going to be out here, you know, for Richard Adonis or, Jared Diaz. You know, there's a lot of great 25 and under talent. And that will be another match. So we're probably going to have 7 matches. So we might have a bridge match, you know, or it's possible maybe the losers in a match do a scramble or whatever. We're still finalizing it. You know, tickets available on Eventbrite. That's going to be the noon show. So you don't want it to run too long anyway, because it's Mania that Sunday, which doesn't start till 4. Yeah. So this should be over by 2:30 the latest. And obviously Allegiant is, you know, 15 minutes away tops.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe we'll be smart and rent a van and charge everybody $20 and make a few dollars instead of taking an Uber, which would be $50 probably at least to go there.
Right. You brought up Matt. Is it not cool to see the pictures from South Korea? How cool is that?
No, yeah, I didn't even realize he was there.
Yeah. It's like, oh man, you know. And then of course, Matt's going to be back by Friday, because he's taking on Duke Lawrence at Ground Zero this Friday.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, insane. International traveler Matt Vandegrift defends his title, coming off of probably an airplane and no sleep. So that's going to be great.
Yeah, no excuses.
Right. Speaking of no excuses, JKM, no excuse going against Gregory Sharp. Man, that's a great, great test for him. I think that you couldn't have put together a better match.
Yeah, no doubt about it. You know, JKM, he's been very, very impressive with, and he's pretty much standing out as one of the younger wrestlers. Not that he hasn't been in good with good people. He was in a match with Remy. He was in a match with Saturn. He was in a match, you know, in a couple scrambles and stuff. But now he gets to go one-on-one with one of the best we got.
Yeah. Yeah, and there's, mask aside, but there's similarities on, you know, the way JKM works to how Greg worked when he was younger. So I think, to kind of bring him along a little bit and get a chance to, you know, kind of test where I'm at, you know, when you push yourself, I think that that's a great matchup to see. You can't go wrong with giving Makeshift Chemistry a match against Saturn and Desire.
They have a tag name, by the way. It's Empire and Desire, so be aware.
Oh, is it Empire and Desire?
I'm like, hey guys, you need to hit up Saturn the other day. Like, you guys got a tag? You guys need to come up with a tag name. And then he immediately wrote Empire and Desire because I guess he's the Empire. You know,
okay.
Game of Thrones. He's the Empire. I don't know. Yeah. Damien Desire is Desire. You know, kind of like Greatness and Tenacious. One's called Greatness, one's called Tenacious, one's called Excellence. So you just incorporate that into an aim. You know.
Whatever happened to Billionaire Boys Club? They're the what now?
The Pretty City Express. So I've been made aware. I don't think the people who even live in either is Glendale or Scottsdale. That's how nobody even knows. That supposedly that's called the Pretty City. That's what they're claiming. I'm like, well, you know, I'm going to have Steve Harvey go there, and he's going to survey 100 people and say, what city in Arizona is called Pretty City? And I'm pretty sure if you go to Glendale or you go to Scottsdale, out of the 100 people, that 20 won't even say that it's their city. So
yeah. Yeah, pretty much. Dante King, man. No Limits Championship against Nino Black. Again, Nino.
Who made that flyer with the chest of Dante King? I don't recall it being that big, but I don't know. Has he been working out in the last couple weeks since he won the No Limits title? I never thought of him as like this big, buff, burly guy. That's what it looks like in the picture, don't it? I don't know. I'm just saying. He's a little more lanky to me, you know, Dante King. There, it looks like he's massive.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah, it's, look, Nino looks like Nino.
You know, why is Brian Cage's chest on Dante King's head? I don't know. Just a thought.
But, you know, Nino, again, you talk about someone who's been so impressive. An answer for you, Joe. Scoop says it came straight out of his camera.
So we're saying that's a scoop picture? And that's how Dante King actually looks? Wow. I'm not sure what magic trick photography is going on there.
Right, I think we all want Scoop to take our pictures now.
I'm telling
if
you,
we all end up looking like that,
you know. And then we have the big women's matchup at Ground Zero, yeah. And it's like, man, how do you pick a winner? Maserati, former women's champion, had to drop the title because she got into a car accident. She was out 3 or 4 months, So in her mind, she's like, why do I have to wrestle Brittany Brooks? I should be the first person in line. And then you got Brittany Brooks coming off, you know, her first match back in FSW at the benefit for Bay, and she won the Fatal 4-Way. But yep. A week before, she was supposed to wrestle for the Women's Championship because she was the legitimate number one contender. She got injured. And she's right. Like, why am I not getting a title shot? So it's kind of weird because you got these two who've been very much positioned as fan favorites looking to challenge somebody who in their absence has become a huge fan favorite in Gypsy Mac.
Yeah.
So it's definitely going to be interesting to see. Gypsy will be there. And Gypsy will be on commentary for that match because next up for her is the winner of that match.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's, you know, again, what's really interesting is, you know, think of Maz is interesting in that sense of we've seen her with a very mean streak, shall we say. We've seen Maz be very aggressive and not on the fans' favorite side at times. And at the same time, you know, Brittany, we haven't seen that from her yet. You know, does Brittany go bad girl and maybe pull a little shenanigans and, you know, do anything she can to win? So, again,
well, fan you know, favorite versus fan favorite. You know, you talk about two fan favorites, but the thing is, Brittany Brooks only remembers the things that Maserati and Rochelle had done to her in the past. So if you ask her, she isn't, oh, well, you know, Maz has changed. She's a great girl now just because fans are cheering her. I can't believe Brittany Brooks is like, hey, pal, how are you? That was awesome how you guys, you know, took turns taking shots at me and beating the crap out of me. And the same thing with Gypsy Mac when it comes to, you know, Maserati and or even Brittany. She's had her matches with her where, you know, many times Gypsy Mac tried to pull out all the stops. So, you know, as welcoming Brittany might be for them leaving the dark side, you know, Brittany Brooks has, you know, great memories, I would think. She's only 20, so she's not like me where we lose our memory at 60 or close to 60. Not yet. Not yet. But, you know, she remembers everything those women have done to her in the past. So, you know, don't put it past Brittany Brooks to maybe, you know, stretch the rules a little bit because, you know, many times she had been destined, you know, the future of this women's division. And in the last year and a half, so many things have happened where, you know, you'd lose a lot of money if you were betting in Vegas because many people figured Brittany Brooks would have been the champion by now.
Right.
But when she got here, if you said, hey, you know, would Brittany Brooks be a champion by 2025 in FSW? You know, I'm pretty sure the betting odds would be a landslide that people would say she would have been. And, you know, whatever reasonings and the injuries that and that's a major thing when you're 20 and you've had, you know, not one, but both ACLs, from what I understand, have been surgically repaired.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it's and let's just wild card factor. You know, Maz, like you said, in the past has had some help from one Rochelle Riveter. So
you know, who we have not seen since she lost the title.
Right. So you know, you never know who might come from that back alley at the FSW arena. And
you never know. The last Rochelle sighting was her and her kid were beating up some guy in a container park.
Um, Hey, you know, what's your thoughts on Ricochet showing up at the BVW show? How did Ricky pull that off?
Ricochet showed up at an anime con where I bet he was paid a very large sum of money. So because of that, Ricky Tenacious got the rub, and Ricochet was a part of that. So, you know, kudos for that. But we got him first. But we got him first, of course. He had a real match with Swan. So, you know, let's not really compare. Because you know what? You know, I paid Ricochet a hell of a lot less than the con. I guarantee you paid him. Just saying.
Yeah. That's definitely true. But is that not, with the guys like that who just love the business itself and just love to do things, it just shines a light where now for a couple consecutive weeks, you know, Vegas gets some national attention because you have someone who is in the second largest company. There was your show for Bay, his Ricochet's wedding, and then the Comic Con or Anime Con. That's a full week of exposure for Vegas going into the biggest, exposure in WrestleMania. It's just kind of mind-blowing how crazy that, is starting to kind of swirl in the universe where there's more attention on the city now, and how many more guys over the next couple of years are going to be moving here because of the popularity of the city. You know, it's mind-blowing.
Well, the thing is, Vegas is a great hub to come out of, flight-wise, in most cases. Yeah. So it's like Rey Mysterio now moved here. Dominic Mysterio now moved here. Ricochet moved here. Zoe Stark moved back here. Yeah. Jeff Cobb lives out here. Brian Cage lives out here. RVD lives out here. Sabu lives out here. D'Lo Brown lives out here. The Godfather lives out here. So TJP lives out here.
Yeah.
So it really, Kenny King lives out here.
Does the sin count? Is Perumph technically out here?
Yeah. We'll count that. I saw they raided Sin's house today. He was on the news. I think it was him because they said there were 7 tigers found in the backyard. They didn't mention the goats and the cows and the 3-footed goats that he has. But I'm pretty sure if it wasn't Sin, it was a close neighbor who they just got 7 tigers from. But yeah, so it's like there you can build an all-star team from all the wrestlers. And it's like, yeah, I get it in Tampa or Orlando because that's where, WWE is. But having it in Vegas is crazy because it's on the West Coast first and foremost, which usually isn't the best place for people want to go. But hey, they like the warmth. Maybe they're tired of Florida. I know there's a lot of political reasons why people don't want to live in Florida or California. So right. Vegas seems to be a good option for all these guys. And we're welcoming anybody who wants to move to Vegas. That's more opportunity for hopefully FSW to get that. Bateman moved from California to Vegas. So now he's become one of our main trainers. So it's consistent. Chris Bay, he moved here when nobody knew who he was. Nobody ever heard of him. He came here to train to wrestle. But, he got a TNA contract. He could have moved anywhere he wanted. But he loves Vegas, and he stayed in Vegas. So it's like, I guarantee you, Greg the Hammer Valentine, he lives in Vegas. Huh? I've been wanting to do something with him, down the line. So hopefully, that can happen. So as I said, you know, it is truly a who's who. Willie Mack.
Yeah. Mike Tenay's out here.
Mike Tenay's been out here forever, but he doesn't seem to involve himself with any wrestling anymore, unfortunately. You know, I used to talk to him back in the WCW days, you know, kind of followed the footsteps. You know, Mike Tenay did a radio show and led into doing a bunch of stuff for WCW. I did a radio show and led into running my own company. So it was a good stepping stone, making connections and all that good stuff.
You know, when you look at, other things that, you know, are going on WrestleMania week, there are how many, is it 9 other shows that FSW has at the arena, or is it 8?
Let's see. We got 1 on Wednesday. We got 5 on Thursday that none of them are ours.
Right.
Okay. We got 5 on Friday, where one of them is technically ours, but it really isn't. It's the WWE ID show. Right. Me and Gabe will be running it, but you know, it's mainly his wrestlers with a couple of ours, the 2 that are signed to the ID program and 3 others. So 5 of our wrestlers will be on that show. Saturday we have off. I'll be at the Hard Rock Cafe, hopefully with the Godfather, Kenny King, and you know, maybe a couple others. And then Sunday we have the Future Legend Women's Tournament, which is technically ours, and we have partners in with MK and the Future Legend brand, but I will be running that show. So that's really the only show that I'm hands-on, putting it together and running it as if it's an FSW show. So, you know, I've been invited, had some good conversations with Progress about possibly, you know, love to cross the ocean and do something with FSW with them. We're going to have a nice conversation with them down the line and possibly them doing something here in the United States, you know, instead of just during Mania Week where they got their own thing going on. But it's like, there's 1,000 shows. There's shows everywhere. There's venues that I guess I'm going to have to hit up and be like, hey, is this venue worth the shit? I might have to go by to certain shows at venues that I'm not really that aware of. Like, I know the space and Meet Las Vegas and what their pricing are and what they can hold. And it's like, for us, the Silverton's still the better deal. I would like a better deal, but those guys want way more and they couldn't fit what we had in for the Chris Bay show. And want more money. So my complaints about the Silverton is still better than the other options as of this point. Hopefully after doing the Bay show and seeing the footage and people watching it on Fox 5 and whatever we have, maybe there's some goodwill toward, you know, FSW. Steve Yeager, the guy who's the Nevada assemblyman, who is a wrestling fan. Like, I couldn't tell you if he was a Republican or a Democrat. That's not part of the conversation. You know, I know if we did something down the line, somebody from the other side would complain. And it's like, oh, you work with it. I have no idea if he's a Republican or a Democrat. I just know he's a wrestling fan and he wanted to help in any way.
Wait, Joe. Oh, you're not asking the right questions. Is he a WWE fan or an AEW fan? Those are the things that people want to know.
Yeah, pretty much. But, you know, not really. Like, that's what you would think normal people would want to know. But the people on social media, which, again, isn't 50%, it ain't 70%, it's probably 5%, but they're the loudest ones who are always got a fucking comment. You know, I was talking to Cody and somebody was shitting all over the Bay thing. And somebody's like, oh, yeah, here comes the match. The Bay's girlfriend's got a win match. And it's like, man, there's some motherfucking haters out there. But,
you know, and once again, is it not just collectively, have people lost their mind in that sense of that show was literally a benefit show, a tribute show, a show put on with the spirit of Chris in mind, right? And so why wouldn't you want to see Brittany go over in that? You know, like, how can you not want to just enjoy that and not analyze, oh, they're just going to, you know, do this. Or of course, Cross is going to beat Hammerstone in this match. I don't get that mindset. Have people just gotten to that point where it's just...
Well, just yeah, the certain people are. It's kind of like the Ricochet and Swan match. The gif of the thing. And it was like, anybody who has a clue, who knows who Ricochet was before WWE, which he was one of the biggest independent wrestling stars, so when Lucha Underground got him, it was a big deal. And Rich Swan. I used them back in 2013, 12, I couldn't even tell you. When Ricochet wrestled Austin Aries and Swan wrestled in the Fatal 4-Way to open up the IWF company, that other than PWG, nobody knew who they were. And they were the Inner City Machine Guns, and they were a tag team, and they've been best friends for many, many, many years. And when Cage couldn't go, Swan was so happy that him and Ricochet were going to get, probably they never thought it would ever happen again, that Ricochet and Swan, let alone wrestle each other, would be in the same fucking ring together.
Yeah.
You know, that's why I almost wanted to do a tag match with them, because it would have been like, holy shit, this is actually happening. So they do the thing and they do their little dance off, which they were known for. And that was great to see, because the one person shits on it, and then 20,000 motherfuckers are basically, you fucking moron. Like, dude, first off, it ain't even on AEW, you idiot. Why don't you learn how to fucking read? Just now, like on Facebook, I get a message and it's like, hello, are you a wrestler? And it was like, he just friended me. And it said graphic designer. It's like, why don't you read the fucking bio of the person you just fucking gave a friend request to? It says Joe DeFalco, owner FSW. Like, I'm not asking you to do fucking research to find out who I am. Oh, can you get me? No, I can't recommend you to people. I don't even know who the fuck you are. And it's like, everybody wants some shit without putting in any of the work. Just like guys and some name guys. Hey, can you get me a list of all the companies that are running at your venue that are renting your arena? And it's like, hey, why don't you go look for the Full Tilt logo that has a flyer on it, bro? I'm like, you want me to copy and paste it for you? Do it yourself. I'm just collecting money from these guys. I'm nice enough that we had Mikey made a flyer to let everybody know what was going on. Like, I went above and beyond what I needed to do for the companies that, you know, decided to pay us to use our venue. You know, it wasn't, hey, it's this price, $2,000 to rent the venue. But hey, if you want a flyer that, you know, got to pay Mikey for, he's got to take his time for. That wasn't included. I chose to do it. You know, I'm not going to say anything about, you know, sharing shit. Yeah, that's nothing. But we made flyers for them. We put their logos. We did, you know, whatever info we can do to, you know, help, because we know our fans are going to choose where to go that weekend. And if they see something interesting at our venue, they know our venue. And, you know, we try to get an all-day pass, but this guy wanted $45 for general admission and $100 for front row. And then it was $34 for, you know, general. And now I see it's $20. I'd be pissed if I paid $45 and now you're offering it at $20. Like, we could have did it all together, and there's going to, you know, now you would have got $15 ahead from somebody instead of $20, because we would have gave them a better price for an all-day pass. That they weren't going to go to your show anyway, bro. There's a million shows, but there's a chance you would get new fans. And now if you sell 20 or 30 extra of those tickets, well, 30 times 15 is an extra $400 or $500. That's very important when it comes to that show.
Yeah.
You know, because again, who's going to the collective? Who's going to the other collective? Oh, wait, what about the other collective? And there's 17 fucking collectives. And then we hear Rikishi all of a sudden announces he's got some shit going on, too.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Yeah, and Rikishi got the downtown, the outdoor spot there across from the D Hotel. So, you know. No, it's like, and that's, and on top of that, you know, Kishi was smart enough to do an all day pass, you know, so you get, you can buy a pass.
Well, for yeah, all 3 days at a place, but it's all his event,
which was a reasonable price.
Right. But it's all his event.
Yeah. So. Yeah. But again, still smart enough though to realize that, you know, something like that, you're more likely, you know, if these individuals would have put their heads together and said, hey, well, you know, if I did it that way, then, hey, yeah, this will get us potentially a little more eyes, a little more exposure, maybe a couple more bodies. You know, it just, with so much going on, you have people going in so many different directions. The idea of keeping them in one place, to me, that makes sense, but.
Yeah, especially that weekend when there's going to be most people are going to probably try to Uber and Lyft everywhere. So if you got to go to the Palms for one show, to come to the FSW Arena to another show, to go to Rikishi's, you're spending $150 on fucking taxi rides, basically. Yeah. Or you could stay at the FSW Arena and Uber because it's an off-strip area, so the price is going to be cheaper. And Thursday and Friday, you're going to watch 5 shows. You know, I've been watching, and all of a sudden, Winner's Circle added a bunch of good people. And they added a bunch of FSW people. So, if you're fond of FSW stuff, why would you go somewhere else? You know, and then you got the same thing. You got, on Friday, we got the ID show. It's after SmackDown. Well, not everybody's going to SmackDown, but if you do, you also, if you want to stay in Vegas, you got the women's show with the Poter. You got the ID show. Yeah. You got Manny Lemons. He's got Psycho Clown versus Sam Adonis. Probably the best match we had in the FSW arena that year. They returned to it. And they got Tommy Dreamer against Manny Lemons.
Right.
Yep. You got Dreamer in the house. So if you want some star power, well, you got that there.
Yeah.
You know, and then after us.
Yeah, no, and you got, you know, TNA at Cox on Thursday. So, yeah, you know, there's.
I want to get there. I just talked to Daniel Spencer, one of the main refs, but he runs the ring crew.
Right.
And I was going to be like, hey, bro, sorry. And it was like, well, it was a good call and a bad call because it was like, yeah, you know, we have our own ring that we travel with. So he's driving from Kentucky to Vegas.
So he's taking it then, from the warehouse. Shit. Yeah,
then they got a – so they got to rent a 26-foot truck, he said. So the reason he called me was they got a show in L.A. a week later.
Right.
So one option is to now go to Vegas, drive all the way back to Kentucky, and then drive cross-country again. So I told him he could store the ring at, you know, at my house, you know, put it in my RV parking area, which is good because, you know, and he'll just fly back to Vegas, you know, instead. And, you know, worse off, you know, it's 5,000 miles, he said, back and then back again if he had to do it, you know. And I think they charge about 80 cents a mile, not along counting the gas.
Right.
You know, you know, I think they got a monthly rental, but it's still based. You got to get charged and then you get charged per the mile. So that alone is like $4,000. So it's like, well, if he stores it at my house, well, now he cut down 2 trips. So instead of 10,000 miles total, he's only going to have 5,000. So he's like, hey, you know, you can store, you know, if you could store, you know, we'll pay you. You know, what do you think? I'm like, I got no fucking clue, you know, what a price would be. You know what I'm saying? It's like,
what's the DeFalco parking garage rate?
Right. You know, but it's like, well, if I do the math and you're saving like $4,000, you know, to me, charging like $1,000 is weird. But if you're saving three out of it, maybe it's fair. I'm like, dude, what? And I hate it because everybody's the same. I'm like, hey, give me a thought process on what you are wanting to pay. And then I can see what works. Because no offense, but I could tell them a number and they're like, wow, we would have paid triple that. And it's like, damn, I could have made a few extra bucks. It's like, you know, it's WrestleMania week, you know. You're trying to make, everybody's trying to make money. And, you know, a couple of the wrestlers was like, oh, just get me the info. I'll contact the place myself. I'm like, dude, this is not how it works. So they're hiring me as the vendor to get it done. So technically I'm the one paying you. I just need a fucking price. And it's like, I get you're doing 30 things on Mania. Do you want to make a few extra grand watching fucking WrestleMania or not? It's like, it's not rocket science, you know, it's like, oh, okay. So you want to make $5,000, but I can't make $400 to fucking do it. Like, yeah, thanks. I appreciate the working together part of the project, you know? So, you know, and dealing with the Hard Rock, it's like, if it doesn't come to fruition, I just did a lot of work for absolutely nothing. Because the idea was we were going to do the show there. So, of course, I was going to help. Right. But now, because we're not doing the show there, I'm not the person to be like, yeah, sorry, go fuck yourself. Go find somebody your own. He came to me because maybe somewhere down the line that's going to help us with something. Yeah. What it is, I got no clue. You know, same thing with Saturday. We filmed Sunday. We filmed for Brandon Gatson. There's a guy locally putting together a documentary on Gatson's brother, and they wanted to film some stuff with Brandon. So Brandon's like, hey, could we use the school? Like, yeah, whatever, no problem. Sunday's a dead day. You know, normally we charge X amount. Oh, he's not gonna. Hey, you know, it'd be really cool if this guy would do something with us down the line. And then there was got a little heated because I really didn't like the reaction. Well, you know, I don't want to feel obligated. I'm like, oh. Okay, so I'm letting you do it for free because of Brandon, and I suggest something. Maybe there's a better way to say you, maybe we can work something out. But your demeanor became almost as if, oh, yeah, maybe I'll do you a favor after you just did me a big one.
Right.
And it's just like, dude, scratching each other's backs. Like, you know, whatever. Maybe I'm too giving in those situations, but you know what? Hopefully in the long run, it pays off. So.
No, but I think that, you know, again, you know, that's the thing.
We worked it out. You know, we had a good conversation after, you know, he ended up calling me, thanking me for using the facility. And he was, cause he had talked about doing a documentary. And the funny thing was when he came in to check out the place, I had to get him out of the fucking ring area. Like, this motherfucker kept asking like a million questions to the students. And it was just like, oh my God, this is so unfucking believable. So I'm like, wow, here's a guy I'd really seemingly want to work with because his fucking passion for this, because he did some stuff with a company that he knew when he lived in Wisconsin. So I'm thinking, hey, this is a no brainer. Here's a guy that maybe if we need some help with something, you know, he's going to 1,000,000% want to do it. But then after the conversation and after the shoot, he calls me up. Oh, you know, once we finish this, you know, I'd love to maybe do a documentary. And but I'm like, okay, that's all I ask, bro. It's like, he's like, oh, I got some ideas. I'm like, well, you know, you talk to me for an hour, you know, I don't fucking stop talking unless somebody fucking has something interesting to say. So if you got something interesting to say, you know, I like to talk. Not that you would know this, but yeah, I do like to talk.
Never. You know, I mean, people have apparently made drinking games of you talking, so keywords.
All right, keywords. I think that used to be more when I used to do commentary with Disco. I think there was a good drinking game with Disco and me. I'm not sure. Can't remember what it was, but back in the day. Because all those young guys that were shitting the bed and they were getting to be on TV even though they were still shitting the bed, you know, Disco would make do the best he could calling the matches, you know. I remember it was like Eddie right. Guardado.
Right.
Might have been versus like a cutthroat Cody when, you know, Cody wasn't as good. And it's like, oh, man, this is a main event in any barn in America, blah, 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 blah. And Disco always, you know, and again, we're people who don't like Disco. And, you know, we put over how much we love Disco. And he's got the driest sense of humor that, you know, I'm very sarcastic with my humor, too. And I know it goes zoom, over so many people's heads, especially the younger kids at the school. And it's like, you know, the more age difference that it gets, you know, now that it's 10, 12, 16 years later, they're so far away from my humor that they're just like deers in headlights, you know?
Yeah. No, it's funny you brought up Disco. Someone, I scrolling through Facebook, someone unearthed the quote that Cody Rhodes gave about 7 years ago now. And how Disco, you know, was only over amongst the boys, and how he was just, you know, it was such a pointed thing because Disco obviously said something, you know, negative.
Right, of course, public. Yeah. And, except, you know, the way we got Rey Mysterio was because Disco. You know, 20 years later, they're still friends. 25 years later, when did WCW end? 2000. Right around 2001, I believe.
2001. Okay. Yeah.
So in 2000 and whenever we did the Cannery show, Jericho still talks to him on a frequent basis. Nash still talks to him. So even though those guys, all they did was make fun of him, they have no reason to talk to him. But 25 years later, they're still friends. Conan, they do the podcast together. Hurricane, they did the podcast together. As I said, Rey Mysterio. When Ray trained down at the school a couple times with Dominic back in the day, who was there but Disco? So it's like, whatever, you know, people want to shit all over him, especially wrestlers, because they don't like the negativity. And he's pointing out the negativity. And I'm pretty sure I've seen Disco point out a lot of positivity. Like, I know Disco was a fan of the Young Bucks, for example. But he's not a fan of the total no-sell and back and forth and shitty fucking punches and strikes and all the other shit. And it's like, you could say whatever you want about a guy who was on TV consistently for 10 or 15 years. So the boys liked him to make fun of him. So that's why he got on a segment on WCW pretty much every week. You're going to tell me that him and Alex Wright, the dancing fool weren't over in any way. Like, really? Like, everybody has to have low card guys. Everybody has to have mid card guys. Everybody has to have main event guys. You know, Cody Rhodes was a guy who was a low to mid card guy for his entirety. They put him in with fucking Orton and DiBiase, and nobody gave a shit.
Yeah.
Then. You know, John Cena would continually lose and go back and forth with Orton, but he would wrestle the tag team champions and beat them in handicap matches all the time. It's what you're positioned to do. And when you're dashing Cody Rhodes and you got another shitty gimmick that never got over, it took Cody to leave to come back for anybody to give a shit.
Yeah.
And he became the biggest star in wrestling.
Right. And I almost 100% would think that, you know, if asked now, Cody would have a totally different approach, because the other thing, too, is 7 years is a long time in terms of Cody's maturity. And I think that that's what we also, you know, when we look at the younger aspect of the wrestling individual who is on that rise at a certain point, trying to get to that next level, doing things. A lot of times the reality of everything hasn't clicked yet. And when it does,
look at bitter Cody Rhodes. He had left WWE miserable, off the Stardust thing, destroyed Triple H's throne at AEW, motherfucked the place, and then he came back and, I was upset, I was bitter, you know. Right. So now he's taking responsibility for why he acted like a piece of shit toward WWE. CM Punk, same thing. You know,
but and what's really cool about this, I heard this from DDP years ago when we were driving. He noted that the one guy, anytime that you went back to the WWE, who made you feel like you meant something was Hunter. And the they just did, Stephanie's got a sit down interview show going on, I think Tubi or YouTube or something, and they were showing that Punk was the first interview and talking about how, you know, Hunter basically ruined the family Thanksgiving because he took that time to talk to Punk in an in-depth way of, you know, just kind of, you know, getting everything out there. And just, you know, it's like when you look at also who's in charge now, you have someone who 20 years ago was the immature jackass and understands now, you know,
what Shawn Michaels was the biggest piece of shit in the fucking business.
Oh, shit, right?
You know?
Look at him.
Right. But remember one thing. What are wrestlers called? They're called workers.
Yeah.
Okay. So first off, now you're dealing with a worker. It's good for television, whether Cody Rhodes felt it or not, to destroy what seemed like Triple H's throne, because WWE's here. Despite everything, AEW's here. Yeah. What do we need to do to do that? Holy shit, the internet's going nuts. Cody Rhodes, do you think they're not playing into it? The funniest thing about the fans are, everybody wants to believe that, oh, that was real. That was real. Oh, he really doesn't like him. Seth Rollins was really pissed at CM Punk when he came back because he didn't know he was back there. Shut the fuck up. Like, but they pick and choose what they want to believe is what is believable and what is fake. And, you know, for years, CM Punk motherfucked the fans. CM Punk motherfucked wrestling. So, was he angry or did he really mean it? Now, is he genuine or is he full of shit? Bottom line is, you're never going to know, because he's now in a position where CM Punk can do no wrong for these fans. Like, he is unbelievably could be the guy that runs with it. And it was like, y'all remember when he was in the UFC, hey, he fucking sucks. This motherfucker sucks. Fuck CM Punk. Oh, shit. CM Punk's on WWE. Oh, my God.
Well, it also comes down to something that is true. And, you know, I always, one of the things that, you know, exactly. And when Phil Brooks says, you know, I love wrestling, I love this, I love this, I love this, but you sat at home for 10 years or so, or 7 years, whatever it was, until we came back to AEW, the honest answer was, you also love money. And no one was willing to meet that price to get you to come into TNA or into New Japan or anything like that. So you also have your self-worth, right? So you're a worker, and thus you also are someone to get paid. So it's a fascinating thing that fans just kind of forget, the idea of what's a fucking business, man? Like,
people, you know, for everybody who wants to, shit on AEW and the way it's run, I've talked to people there and they can't stand it sometimes. But if it wasn't for AEW existing, CM Punk may have never come back. You never know.
Well, you know? And you know what? Swerve made that point, right? He said that AEW bought the price, the value of Cody, Punk, Jade Cargill, and now you see it in Ethan Page. You see it
in Strickland, because I talked to him at the Bay Show, and I always joke about back in the day. I think I paid Swerve like $300 or $350. Okay, then when he was in AEW, you know, he was about three times that amount because he was in AEW. And he had left WWE, so there's that combination of his name is now known to more of the wrestling masses. And This was before he was a major player in AEW, when I had talked to him, probably 2 years ago, let's just say. And then he started getting the run, and then I asked him his rate, and I know he wasn't talking 100 when he gave me the first digit. It was, what the fuck? Like, holy shit. It's like, man. But for you, Joe, you know, it's like, it was still an insane number for me. Because that's the value.
Exactly.
Of what he's getting now. Same thing. Like, I talk to Cage all the time. When I say all the time, I don't mean every fucking week. But I talked to Brian a good amount of times. And I used to be like, come on, bro. Can't you give me a better deal than that? Like, really? You're rolling out of the house. Come on. I'll give you a match whoever the fuck you want to work. Bro, I'm giving you the best deal. Bah, 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 bah. And I'm like, yeah, for you, it's the best deal. For me, it ain't the best deal. Okay? Like I said, when you seen Cage there, it's usually because we got a sponsor who covered most of the thing. All right? So I'm like, hey, Brian, you know, you owe me a show because you hurt your knee. Because I knew it was a free show. And it's like, well, you ain't getting it for free. And I'm like, yeah, I know. But he said he'd give me a super duper discount to do Cage versus Rich Swann if we can get that done. But in talking with Brian, like, I used to be like, yeah, but man, you used to work for $75 driving from Fresno, which was probably $50 worth of gas because I had Ricker, which was LA Knight, on my shows, and they were a tag team in California. So, of course, he knew about us, and he would make the trip. Then it would be an Allegiant flight that I'd pay him $75, and I'd fly him in, and the flights were like $69 round trip, you know what I mean, back in the day. So, but then I realized it because we were talking about his contract, and, oh, they gave me a bump, and I got this, and I kind of knew around what he was making, and it's like, now, if this motherfucker comes – just like he did at RVD's show, and gets hurt. Now he's got issues and heat with AEW because they just put him in a position. So I hit him up. He called me. I haven't gotten back in touch with him. I'm like, hey, how bad's the knee? You know, I don't know if he's going to be out 2 weeks or 6 months. You know what I mean? And because I've seen him advertised on some shows coming up in the next month. But I also know he was supposed to fly out after the Bay Show and work that World Series of Wrestling in Australia that pays fantastic and brings in huge names. Right. And that was supposed to be his final tour there. I think they were going to do some kind of farewell thing for him. So he was very disappointed in making it. Yeah. But the subject of the story is, now I understand. Like, if he works for me for that price, which is nothing compared to his AEW price. In reality, he doesn't have to work at all. But Brian wants to work. He wants to have cool matches. And he's willing to risk the injury. And he'll do it, but he's got to at least make a good payday. It's not a great payday for him, because what he gets to work there is probably 5 to 10 times the amount he's going to charge me on an independent wrestling show. So it's like, yeah, I get it. You know, because I don't know what their contracts are like. Hey, if you get hurt in an indie show, we're not paying you. I have no idea. But, you know, it's not crazy for something like that to not be in the contract, or getting medical. Right. You're not supposed to get medical. You know, like with Chris, they were fortunate. He was fortunate that they covered his hospital bills and they paid for that. But he had gotten hurt before and he was on a per show. I think he fucked up his shoulder or whatever. So he missed a couple of tapings. And when you miss a couple of tapings and you're on a per match basis, well, multiply your amount of money times zero. For some weird reason, no matter what you multiply zero by, the answer is always zero. So that's what got deposited. That's what got direct deposited into these guys' account. Fucking zero.
Well, and you know, the other thing that it's, you know, I love when people give someone like Brian shit, because I tell you right now, just talking to Brian for about 2 minutes, and when he said and showed his, you know, his leg to me, the disappointment in his voice that he couldn't wrestle was
the key. Those guys were dying to work each other. Well, I don't know if Ricochet was dying to work each other, but they already knew Ricochet was going to be in the match, and Cage was like, they're like little kids.
Yeah.
Little kids getting that, you know, it's fucking, you know, the machine from Lucha Underground against, you know, what was Ricochet's character?
Oh God.
You know, Under the Mask.
Yeah. It's been so long now. I don't even remember. God. But yeah, that's the thing.
And it was like, wow, it goes back to when those guys were on the verge of breaking out and they loved wrestling, but though they were in the middle of, you know, they were getting paid pretty well at that point in their careers. They didn't have to have that other job and go punch a clock and work to make sure that the bills were paid and there was food on the table for the family. You know, those were the days when they were starting to make good enough money that they could rely on just wrestling. And when they would see each other at the indie shows. So it was like, this was, you know, I joke, this was like a Lucha Underground meets the IWF in Phoenix, because almost every person on that show was part of what I did in the IWF. And then later on, all those guys, Swan, Ricochet, Cross, Hammerstone, Cage, you know, the Rascal, every combination of people, you know, they were in a lot of those matches. And, you know, those guys, they don't get to see each other when somebody's Prince Puma. There you go.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, Ricochet, yeah, of course, he got everybody. He was in WWE for a long time. But Shane Strickland, you know, when was the last time Cross has seen somebody like the Rascals when he was probably on the way out of TNA and they were coming into TNA?
Right.
You know, and all these people, you know, we got a lot of that backstage footage, you know, and Morrison hugging people and everybody's so happy to see each other because they're all there for the common bond of they love Chris and they wanted to do it. And it was like, you know, there's most of those guys there. I was not surprised at all. Like, I knew the first people that are going to be there are going to be Ace Austin. I know the Rascals are going to be there. Talking back in the day, I knew Morrison would be there. I knew Swan would want to be there. You know, I knew Hammerstone would want to be there. Like, there was a few that I didn't know that their connections, like an AJ Francis, like a Kazarian, you know, those guys I didn't know. But most of those other people, when you look at it, you know, Brooke Havoc was training with Brittany Brooks, came to the school a month ago, and instead of flying home, she flew to Vegas to hang out for a week. So I knew she wanted to be a part of it. I knew Jada Stone. I knew Maserati. Obviously, Brittany. Like, you know, go down the card. You know Ace Austin. You know, Leo Rush. You know, there's these guys that you knew that were like, hey, if this is going to be a possibility, that these are going to be the guys that in talking with Chris and in talking with Morris and talking, just you knew who, you know, felt Chris was very special to them before any of this happened, you know?
Yeah. And the other thing too is, again, you know, I think a lot of times the fans don't really know or even appreciate the fact that for, you know, all those guys that you just mentioned, wrestling is something that they still love doing. They still love going out there and putting on a great match. Especially if you're in the position where it's not the company that you're working for that's, you know, you're going through what they're telling you to do. You're getting an opportunity to do something where it's purely, oh, I get to wrestle this guy? Sweet, let's do this. You know, how many times, you know, when you talk to Brian and you go, hey, you know, I got this guy. Would you want to wrestle a Hammerstone? You know, yes, let's do this. It's, you know, it's about that love of being able to go out there with someone and create that magic that happens between you and another person and what it creates energy wise in that arena. And, you know, we tend to look at, again, the jadedness of, you know, people just wah about, you know, this, that, or the other. And it's like, you do realize that, you know, these people still love doing this no matter what. And those people who kind of hate doing it, eventually they're done with their careers. They're over. They, you know, they go and sign autographs at conventions. And I think that, you know, that's the coolest thing is.
Yeah, because I'll tell you what, if you book them to wrestle or you book them for a convention, the price is exactly the same in most cases, which is crazy to me, but it's their day and that's what their day is worth. So, you know, people are like, oh man, it was like, it's weird because, you know, you think about things and, you know, we were looking to do our anniversary show at the Lee's Family Forum, the Dollar Loan Center. We had a connection. I got quoted on a price, and Ricochet was actually at the school. I'm like, hey, you know, you're now that he's out, he was in the process. At that time, he wasn't signed at AEW. Everybody seemed to feel he was going there. And right. Or he might have made his first appearance, whatever it was. And I'm like, hey, you know you're going to cost a lot of money. I don't care what it is. I just kind of need a number because, you know, this show needs to be special. You know, we're going to do something for our anniversary in June. He's like, yeah, you know, let me know. And as the conversation started to sour with the Lee's Family Forum, because, oh, yeah, you know, for $50,000, you can rent the facility like AEW did, and they do whatever the fuck they want. And I'm like, oh, well, yeah, $50,000, that's fucking nuts. So it was like, well, yeah, you know, we'll do it as a partnership, but we'll, you know, we'll knock the prices down. So now we're talking at $30,000, and now it's split two ways. And the $30,000 included like a $10,000 charge for talent that I had told them about. So now we're really at $20,000 for the place split.
Right.
So it's $10,000. Okay, that's cool. What we're trying to do is fill the bowl, give away thousands of seats if we have to, you know, 1,000 seats, vet ticks, put it over, you know.
Yeah.
Try to make the money from the meet and greets and the front rows and do things. And then all of a sudden I go down there when we actually did the matches we did for their lucha at the hockey game. So I'll go a little into the inner working. So I go see the guy. And all of a sudden I'm looking at the thing and the price is like $50,000. And I'm like, dude. And then it's like $3,000 or $4,000 for catering. I'm like, you know, this is cool and everything, but we're not having a full spread for the wrestlers. We cannot afford that. We're not AEW who you can walk in, and I can walk in as I did and grab a plate of food. No big deal. If you got backstage access, you're more than welcome to enjoy the food that they have there. And it's good food. Okay. oh, yeah, we can knock that off. And I'm like, okay, well, you told me the nut, and you said you're giving us the deal. And I'm like, but it's still $50,000. Well, yeah, but our nut isn't $50,000. It's only $30,000, but we got to pay for security. That's the nut to me. Like, I don't care what you're getting out of it. I'm telling you what the cost of the show is to me. So now you're back to $50,000 because you're saying we – so not only do we have to have a whole bunch of police officers there, why, I don't know. We also have to have a bunch of security guys. I'm like, okay, so you're taking the entire thing, which is 5,500 seats. We want it set up for like 2,500. So wouldn't that eliminate all the ushers, all the – I want to kind of set up the way AEW did. Like, they cut off part of the arena. Yet you're somehow still around that number. So now it's still costing me $25,000, but I have to bring in a $50,000 and $2 gate just to make a dollar. Because if we bring in $40,000, for example, okay, that's great. Phenomenal. Cut that in half. That's 20 and that's 20, but we're still minus 10.
Yeah.
Yep. So, oh, we're splitting it though. So I pay you $5,000 to have the biggest gate in the history of FSW. Okay. So we can't do the show. It just isn't happening. And then a tragedy happens with Chris, and basically that's the show.
Yeah.
That it would have been so much. It would have been phenomenal to do that show. And it's like, and I jokingly said to somebody, I'm like, no offense, but the same amount of tickets are going to be sold if Ricochet performs at the Silverton or he performs at the fucking Dollar Loan Center. Yeah. And how crazy is it that two months before, that's where we were targeting to do that show. That was the show I wanted to do. And we did it at the Silverton with all these guys.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, we didn't do a $40,000 gate. Now, would it have been? And we had all those guys, but we didn't pay any of those people. Right. So Chris is going to get upwards of $20,000 to $25,000 once we get all the numbers done. You know, what started as, hey, hopefully we can make Chris like $5,000. We do it at the school. The Rascals will show. Ace Austin, a few people, as said, turned into a global phenomenon where now we're able to give Chris 4 to 5 times that amount of money. The reach has been through the roof. And the guys that we got are bigger than the guys we would have got for that show.
Right.
And, you know. Yeah, we sold out. We really shouldn't have because according to how many GA tickets were available to sale, we hadn't reached that yet. So how was it sold out? Why were tickets pulled? Because we reached a certain number. People could stand. I know plenty of people. Yeah. Oh, I went to go online. It was sold out. Should have came and seen me. We would have figured something out.
Yeah.
But, you know, the bottom line is we did that show and we did it at the Silverton. But now if we did it at the Lee's Family Forum, guess what? We were probably we would have been able to accommodate those other 50 to 100 people who had to buy second row or GA that wanted front row because it was so much bigger. So who knows? But again, they weren't going to give us that room for free. And it's a shame. But, you know, this. You know, the Chris Bay show will go down forever as our WrestleMania. That will be, you know, and again, numbers wise, I think we had a few more people at the 10th anniversary and we had a few more people. But, you know, but between the donations and everything else, the money that was brought in will be the biggest that we've done. And I told Chris and I told Rey Mysterio, I said, Ray, when I pencil you in, just so you know, I'm penciling you in for the Chris Bay return match. So, Chris, you can't do it at TNA. You got to do it with us. And it'll be Bay versus Rey Mysterio. That will be the biggest gate in FSW history. I even told Daniel Spencer at TNA. I'm like, bro, we're getting that fucking first match. You know, even though Stevie Richards said he ain't ever coming back. So.
Well, you know, and that, and that's the thing. It's like, you know, you look at it and you just go, you know, business, right? You know, that's kind of the thing. We're, you know, and when you look at the upsides and the downsides and whatnot, one of the things that will always be true is that when you have people who are passionate about something, when you have a good cause on top of that, you know, everyone comes together for it. Now, you know, it's interesting because when Anniversary Show comes up in June, you know, what does Joe do? You know, what does Joe do for, let's say, another Mecca down the line now? Because now you've just set the bar of, you know, from where it was till, oh shit.
Well, obviously the Mecca's always been an event, and that's why it was like, well, are we going to call it the Mecca? Because this is a Mecca show. We can't have the biggest show always be the Mecca, and now the biggest show of them all is not called the Mecca. So yeah. It's like, well, we're doing it as the benefit for Bay, so it's going to be Mecca 10 because it's also number 10. So yeah. It's the benefit for Bay. You know, things always have their names to it, and it's, you know, hey, it was No Escape, Apocalypse, and the War Zone, and all the other stuff. But Mecca 11 definitely is challenging, but making relationships that we did and wrestlers right. being appreciative of a promoter who wasn't just worried about his own pocket and understanding. So the people who know me already. So I'm not worried about that. But it's the people who don't know me. It's the people who may hear things. Now they dealt with me and understand how I do things. So, you know, maybe a guy that I didn't know that well, AJ Francis, for example, you don't know who the fuck I am. You know, I see he follows me on the thing and he's friends with Chris, and Chris puts over FSW, and Hammerstone used to do it, and Cross always used to do it. So people who are aware, well, maybe these guys are willing to come in and they're willing to give me a better price. They're willing to get save me. You know, you could save a couple thousand dollars just by having five guys give me a much better price than what they would charge somebody who randomly hits them up. And and the bottom line is I cannot continue to do shows that would continually lose money. I'm not independently wealthy to where, hey, yeah, cool, let's do this really cool show. Hey, Cross, Ricochet, come on in. I'm going to pay you guys your rate. It's all good. Show's going to cost $40,000. Hey, we brought in 28. Good news, guys. We only lost $12,000. How many times are you going to only lose $12,000 on a show and keep running shows? Unless you're Tony Khan.
Yeah. Oh, don't say it though. Internet ears. They're listening and they're, well, how dare you say that? Tony doesn't lose money on shows. Stop that. That's naughty.
Well, yeah, he probably doesn't lose money on a per show day, but when, you know, you're paying Rusev and you're paying all these guys tons of money use them, the budget has to be out there, you know.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, it's just, again, it's just basic business knowledge. You know that there is a loss there, but these crazy internet fans will say, "How dare you? You just hate it. You just hate that product. That's it." And it's like, no, you're delusional. This is a business, and you won't know the numbers because they won't reveal them, because it's a private business and they don't have to reveal them. That's it. So they can tell you they are, oh my God, our product is great, we do well, blah, blah, blah. But you'll never know the exact numbers because they don't want that out there, because yes, they lose money.
Well, what was it? I just saw somebody. Forgot who it was, where they went private so they don't have to disclose anything anymore. And it was a major company. I don't know. Like, obviously, it wasn't. Was it WWE?
No, because they got the TKO. They have to.
Yeah. It was a company that I was like, oh, they've gone. And again, I couldn't even tell you if what sport it had to be. I thought it was either. Yeah, I'm going to have to figure that out because I saw something to where everything is being done privately. So I don't know.
Yeah,
I'm not sure. I'm going to have to look it up.
Yeah.
Eventually.
A quick look. I'm not, you know, there's just stories on public to private. But yeah, no, I, you know, it's just, yeah, it's, that's the whole thing. And it's like, you know, now it's like, for instance, is Mecca 11 then maybe for, Mecca 11, King of Las Vegas, when we see Kenny versus Swerve finally, you know? It's going
to
be
sponsors. Give us a call if you want to see Swerve Strickland in an FSW ring. It will not be cheap.
Well, you know what? Kenny could get the dealership behind. Kenny, come on.
Yeah, come on. Brought to you by Lexus.
All right. As we start wrapping up here, Joe, final thoughts as we go into Ground Zero on Friday.
Well, Ground Zero, we got tag titles on the line. We got the Nevada State title on the line. We got the No Limits title on the line. We have a marquee matchup of returning superstars, Maserati and Brittany Brooks, to determine who will challenge the FSW Women's Champion, Gypsy Mack. We got checking out some of the younger talent. JKM's getting the opportunity against Gregory Sharp. Trying to finalize it, but it looks like Bateman will be in action, as you see him on the flyer. Right now, it's looking. I thought it might be a triple threat match, but right now I'm scheduling Bateman versus Watson. So. You know, the loser has to revert to using their first name. So there's a lot more on the line than the wins and losses in that match.
I kind of would like to see the loser has to take the other's name and make it their last name. So we'd have a Bateman Watson or a Watson Bateman.
There you go. You know, that could be, you know. Braxton could have been in the match, but he decided to be Joe Braxton, so he already has two names. So, you know, I'm searching all over the wrestling community for any one-named wrestlers. You know, even though Brett doesn't use his last name, it's still Brett the Threat. So, right. You know, he's just not Brett. You know what I mean?
Right.
So
he's not, yeah, or just the Threat.
Clutch could be available.
Yeah.
You know, there's
another guy who lives in town that we didn't mention who goes by one name. You can get Ryback in there.
Ryback, yeah. We used to talk a little in the past, you know, trying to do something. You know, back in the day, man, and I, we were trying to put together Cross versus Ryback. We thought it would be a huge hit. But unfortunately, you know, he kept talking about coming back. I think that ship has sailed because I think if he was wanting to come back, he would have.
I think he literally makes more money, you know, souring on everything. And he probably makes tons of money through, you know, his social media accounts just by going negative on shit. So it's interesting.
Well, I could put a great tag team together. We get Val Venus and Ryback and call them politically incorrect. And, you know, they'd be, you know, it's kind of like when you go to see somebody because you want to watch them lose. You know, people used to go buy tickets and buy pay-per-views to watch Floyd Mayweather to hopefully get knocked out. So now you put Ryback in the ring with Val Venus and they could take on, say, Chelsea Green and Matt Cardona. You know, that might cost me $100,000 for that match. But I'll tell you what, you know, there'd be a lot of buzz for that match, you know.
Is Gallo still roomies with Mr. Venus? Do we know?
Oh, I don't know. When you said Gallo. Gallo. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. I know they were back in the day, you know, a while back, yeah. But I don't know, to be honest with you. I think he's keeping it hush hush, you know, he doesn't want to ruin his AEW.
Right, yeah. Speaking of Joe, that's one match that I'm kind of disappointed you didn't get, and that is Navajo and Gallo teaming up once again to take on the Ballard brothers like it's 2000.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I never used the Ballard brothers. There was one point we almost did, and it never worked out.
Yeah. You know, man.
They decided they'd rather they chose to only work when Adrenaline Unleashed was running their one show a year, and they worked for him. So, yeah. You know, he had a strict policy that maybe wasn't so bad after all, was you can't work. If you work for FSW, you ain't working for us. I used to be like, man, that's horrible business. And it's like, well, maybe it ain't so bad after all.
Yeah, and it's interesting, you know, kind of knowing the Ballards, you know, a little bit, you know, not greatly for over the course of years. You know, they're two guys who are finally getting some accolades by going into the Southern Cal Independent Wrestling Hall of Fame and, you know, coming out of essentially retirement to do this match in Arizona against the Gallo and Navajo on Navajo's retirement tour. So it's just interesting to see, you know, with all the excitement of all the young people, some of these people have been doing it now for 25, 30 years are finally, you know, winding down their careers as well. So, it's crazy that the popularity now is probably now above where it was, I think, in 98, 99. It's just insane.
Well, yeah, you know, it's no different. Go look at the music business and go look at bands who haven't had hits in 25 years. And it's like, oh, shit, they're on tour. And now, mm-hmm. now they're nostalgia. You know, yeah. 10 years ago, Limp Bizkit, oh, yeah, they suck. Who gives a fuck? Now it's like, oh, cool, Limp Bizkit's playing on tour.
Yeah.
And, you know, and a lot of these bands, even now I see, you know, they keep coming out, Shinedown, Papa Roach, Godsmack. They're all coming out with new shit that's just as good as their old shit. Yeah. So Creed, you know, and it's like, man, Creed was a laughing stock because of the singer being a fucking jackoff, you know. Yeah. And now, you know, he's calmed down. And they made more money on this tour this last year than they did when they were the biggest band in the world
yeah.
in 1999. Yeah. When they were fighting at the Howard Stern thing, I remember, in Jones Beach. And Fred Durst and Stapp were getting into a fight over who was going to headline the fucking event or whatever it was. Or somebody trying to sand. It was just like wrestling. Somebody was sandbagging the other group or whatever, you know?
I was actually doing security at Universal at the amphitheater, the old, you know, whatever they called it at the time, you know. And Creed was headlining an Almost Acoustic Christmas. And Scott Stapp probably got about 4 or 5 songs in. And then just decided he didn't want to do it anymore and just left. And it was like, wow. What is going on, man? And it's like, yeah, you know, it's a different world. And the money is different now too, you know? And it's like, if you can get Oasis back together and put that insurance rider on this concert, more power to you. because the over-under of them actually getting through one of those concerts in this tour is going to be astronomical.
You know, it's everywhere. I even saw what did they got? The Senior Scramble. Did you see that one that GCW is doing? It's got Mike Jackson, who's like 70-something, Ricky Morton. It's basically all like the it should be called the AARP match. Because I being the innovator that I am, you know, because GCW was in the room the day I talked about wanting to do the 24-hour match, and they did a 24-hour show. But I had talked to Brett one time to find out if Mike Jackson was going to be in. And I wanted to book the biggest age gap in professional wrestling history. I wanted Bodie to wrestle Mike Jackson. And at the time, Bodie was like 15. So it literally would have been like a 58-year age difference. So just for the nostalgia of doing it, but Mike Jackson wasn't coming in for GCW to Vegas. Because it seems like Brett uses them more when they're back that way to not have to, you know, pay flights on that. But like now he's going to be out here. So if I would have had that show, I would have booked now. You know, I would have had the 17-year-old Bodie versus the 75-year-old Mike Jackson. So somebody steal my idea. It's a good one.
Hey, by the way,
I'd be in the Guinness Book of World Records. I guarantee you they would make that an official title.
You have to call Guinness and get it approved.
Yeah.
Get it officialized.
And then I'll just make the match randomly. I'll put it on the Future Legend Women's Tournament. I got a spot for a match.
Do you think we'll ever possibly see an FSW Mas Rapido?
Anything's possible.
Yeah, because
people who don't know, that's Bodie's cousin from Tijuana. That's why these people saw some similarities.
Oh man, one of the best things I saw this weekend was Mas Rapido. Oh man, just like Chad Gable, man, that Americano. I don't see it. I don't see what people see. So, oh boy. Well, there we go. All right, everybody, check out Ground Zero this Friday, 7 p.m. Either come down to the FSW Arena if you're around, or check it out on Triller if you're not in Vegas. And get ready for WrestleMania week coming up. It's just around the corner, and I'm sure, Joe, you're probably going to lose the final bits of hair you have with all that's going on. And you know, hopefully it won't be too painful.
You know, hopefully not. But we got a lot going on. So this, and then we're doing Future Shock next week. So, and then we got Mania. So there's no rest for the wicked. I wanted to get Future Shock in before everything was going on. And then we'll have, after Mania, I'll have a whole week off until we maybe do something Cinco de Mayo weekend, which is 2 weeks later. So yeah.
Which
Joe needs
perfect.
A vacation. Bahamar in the Bahamas is maybe calling soon again. Who knows?
I think Mas Rapido has to headline that Lucha event or that.
There you go. I got to call Bodie and see if his cousin's available. Maybe we can have them work one on one.
Yeah, I mean that's
or
a match
tag.
We
can have a tag match. You know.
Oh man, I hope so. And, you know, Cinco de Mayo. Yeah, you know, after a couple tequila shots, I'm sure that match will be amazing. All right,
there you go.
Everyone,
it happens.
Thanks for tuning in. Everyone, take care. Until next time, see you guys.